Psalm 119, 32, and I want to speak a message entitled, Being Set Free. Being Set Free. And read along with me, if you will, on this text out of the Modern English Version. Verse 32 of Psalm 119. I will run in the way of your commandments when you set my heart free. I will run in the way of your commandments when you set my heart free. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, your heart is set free. And because your heart is set free, because the Lord's the only one that can unlock your heart to the freedom that he's speaking of here, you are wanting, you're desiring, you're living out the Word of God every day of your life. It's important when you see the world as it is today and even the church world, you see some sort of a complication there. Almost where it's not mirroring this scripture. People say they have given their heart to the Lord, but they're not living out the commandments of God. It's easy to live for the Lord. It's easy to be a Christian when you pray, when you read God's word, and when you fall in love with God. It's just something that is very easy. It's not difficult, even though some people think it's difficult to live for God because temptation is so strong in their life. Desires are so strong in their life. The way our human character is, oftentimes it dictates that God doesn't know what he's doing, and so we're going to take over God and we're going to do it our way. God is always the one that you want to lean to, lean on, and never lean away from. You always want to be with the Lord every day. When you wake up in the morning till you put your head on your pillow at night, and when you sleep at night, God is watching over you. The Bible is very clear in Hebrews 7 and 25 that Jesus is standing at the right hand of God, and he's forever interceding for us, and he is able to save all those that come through him to go to God. He's able to do that. The Bible is very clear in Ephesians 3 and 20, that God is exceedingly abundantly more than able to do all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. The Bible is very clear in Philippians 1 and 6. He which has begun a work in you shall perform that work until the day of the Lord. It's very clear that these scriptures are part of our life. And we have to grab a hold of, embrace, hold on to, be steadfast, knowing that God's word is a stronghold in our life, and we can look unto the hills where our help comes from, and our help comes from the Lord. We can understand that he is there for us at all times because he loves us. We love God because he first loved us. We have this great relationship with God because of what Jesus Christ did at Calvary's cross and on the third day, a bodily resurrection, and then 40 days later, an ascension up into heaven, and the promise that he shall return by the angels. By the same way he left, he shall return in that same way. We look forward to the coming of the Lord. We look forward to reigning with him for 1,000 years during the millennial period. And we look forward to being with him in the kingdom of God forever and ever and ever. There's freedom in what I'm speaking right now. It's not a binding feature. It is a freedom that we have. Being bound is something that we get so used to that we don't know how to act. You know, there's a story of an old bear who was in a cage in Germany. And the cage was 4 foot by 6 foot, by 4 foot by 6 foot. And when the bear was birthed, he was put in that cage, and he lived there his whole life till he was an elderly bear. And it was time, they thought, in this German zoo to take him out into the forest in Germany and to release him, to give him freedom, that he would be able to have his last days in the freedom of being a bear. They trailered that cage. They brought him out deep into the woods, into a meadow, to where there was no human being there, but there'll be other animals. They unhooked the trailer. They moved the truck away. They waited for a bit and came and opened the actual door for freedom for that bear. That bear stayed in that cage for a while until they urged the bear to come out. They had to urge him because he was used to being in that cage. He was used to being stared at for years by humans. He was used to being fed by humans. He was used to that cage. Well, they brought him out finally and took him about 50 feet away from the cage, closed the cage door, and then watched the bear. The bear didn't move for a moment, but then he began to move. And to their surprise, he moved 6 feet one way, 4 feet another way, 6 feet another way, 4 feet another way. That's all he knew, was to be bound. He didn't know that there was freedom. But with us, when we give our hearts to the Lord, we ourselves have to realize that now our boundaries are eternal. We have the freedom to worship and the freedom to praise God. Freedom has great value and carries a responsibility to maintain. Freedom found by people throughout this world and even as close as neighbors in your area, what they experience is to be applauded. When going through life at its rapid pace, we often look for places to rest and regain strength, go on vacation so we can feel free from work. We go places where our neighbors aren't there, or where friends aren't there, or where people that we are in relationship with in some impersonal way are not there. Some people like to take cruises. Some people like to go out into great areas like the Grand Canyon and see the greatness and the beauty to where they can sense freedom in that area. Or they take a hike or up into the mountains. And they walk through the redwoods and just see the beauty and the greatness of those great sequoias and those massive redwoods there. And they walk through those trails and they begin to feel some sort of a freedom. They go to the ocean and they'll sit on the cliffs and watch the waves come back and forth and sense some sort of a freedom. Because they're trying to regain strength, because this world we live in binds us often, puts stringence on us that causes us to feel shackled. Time is always set from the early morning to the evening. What your day is like is sometimes over the same, over the same. It's redundant. Getting up at the same time, driving the same way to work, doing the same things at work, coming home, eating the same thing for lunch, watching the same television shows. We become bound and we don't find that freedom that we need to have in our life with Jesus Christ. Bound by the pressures of this age and the circumstances that empower our day, we look to escape. We really do. We look for that escape. That's why people go on vacations. To break free seems distant and out of reach. But when we look into God's word, we find testimonies of freedom found. Israel was bound for 400 years. And when they walked out of that city that day with the Spirit of the Lord, the angel leading them, they were free. They were free. And then when they came to the great Red Sea, they felt bound again because behind them Pharaoh's army was coming, a great army, an army of destruction. In front of them was a Red Sea. Impossible for 2.5 million people to cross. And on either side, there were the mountains. There was no way they could climb those mountains. They were bound. But by the lifting of faith, by the lifting of the staff, by the lifting of the name of Jesus, that sea opened up and they saw freedom. And they walked through dry ground with the walls of water of the Red Sea separated. And they got to the other side and they danced and they praised God. They played their tambourines and they were able to understand the freedom of the Lord. And today in the church, we again need to understand what the freedom of the Lord is like. Because being bound is not comfortable, nor will it ever be accepted by your heart or understood by your mind. It'll never be that way. Being bound. It's uncomfortable to be bound. It's uncomfortable to feel squeezed. It's uncomfortable. Do you know when during the Vietnam War, sadly to say, we lost a lot of soldiers and a lot of missing soldiers that we have no idea what happened to them. There's graves that recognize that here in America. But you know, sometimes they were put in a box out in the middle of the compound, a 4x3 box or a 3x3 box, just with a little screen hole in it, bound, and they couldn't move. They couldn't stretch out. They could only squat, and they were there for days. They were bound. That was not comfortable. It wouldn't be like if you went on a cruise and somebody said, "What was your room like?" It was, "Well, it was 3x4. And it had a little hole out where we can see the ocean, but we couldn't really move in it. That would be, you would be binding. You would not enjoy that. Well, they didn't enjoy that. And when they were liberated and they were set free, those that were able to come back home, they had to understand again. And they had a greater understanding what freedom was like because they understood being bound was not for human nature, but to be free and to have the ability to be free. You see, what we have to do is having freedom is what God desires for our lives and what our life necessitates daily. We look for freedom. That's why we work. We go to a binding area to look for freedom to give us opportunity to go to the beaches, to go on vacation, to have a nice car. We look for things to make us feel better. Now, I'm going someplace with this. Please follow this, because what we often don't do is we don't look to the Lord for freedom. We look for material things. We look for things that make us feel good. New outfits, new shoes. Everything that we could possibly think of that'll make us feel good inside. Nothing wrong with that. But when we make that our primary and God our secondary, we have a problem, because you're not going to feel that freedom that you're looking for. Freedom of praise, worship, prayer, and love deeply seated in our hearts can be watered and be productive through the knowledge of God's word. Praise, worship, prayer, and love is deeply seated in our hearts. That's why we were born, to be able to praise a living God, to worship a living God, to pray to a living God, and to love a living God. It's in our hearts. And if we don't water those seeds, we end up praising a world, worshiping a world, praying to gods of this world that have no power, cannot bring change to our life, cannot do the things that our life needs. And we end up falling in love with the wrong people. We end up becoming hurt. We end up being left alone. We end up desolate. We end up empty. But with God, we always end up full. We always end up with more than enough. We always have an abundant life, because that's why he came, to give us a life, and that life more abundantly, John 10:10. We understand the ability that he has for us, that his abilities are greater than what we can actually comprehend. So we have to embrace that comprehension by faith that God will do the things that he said he'll do in our lives. He wants to set us free. Having understanding and trust that the Lord has promised us peace and joy unspeakable along with hope. We have to have that understanding that those are the promises. Peace, joy, unspeakable, and hope. The Bible is very clear that hope is an anchor to our soul. Hebrews 6:19. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God which is in our hearts by the presence of the Holy Spirit keeps us knowledgeable of God's promise of His Word and of His presence. Romans 5:5. We have to understand the ability that we have with God is getting to know His Word brings freedom into your life. Knowing His Word, not just reading it, but experiencing the Word in your life every day. Having an experience with God through praise. An experience with God through worship. An experience with God through prayer. An experience with God as you deeply fall in love with God. I mean, it's so beautiful to fall in love with God and fall in love with Jesus, to fall in love with the Holy Spirit and have the Holy Spirit lead you, the Paracletos, the Comforter, lead you daily and show you things that are going to come and testify of the Lord Jesus Christ and tell you the truth. Amen. To have that in your life every day. It's wonderful to have that and to know that we have those things in our lives. When you embrace the promises of God and speak them in your heart, your life will find freedom, which comes from following His commands. And His commands aren't burdensome. They're not complicated. You don't have to be a college-educated, doctorate, master, double doctorate. You don't have to have a triple doctorate. You don't have to have a huge education. You just have to know Jesus Christ, to know how wonderful it is to follow Him and to know that the simplicity of His commands are always founded in the love that we have for Him and His love for us. Jesus said something on the cross that was dynamic, and oftentimes we miss it. It is finished. It is finished. Three words. He did everything that the Father commanded Him to do. He obeyed Him explicitly. The man Jesus Christ, even though He was the only begotten Son of God, the Savior of the world, very much man and very much God, He Himself said these words, "It is finished," to make the way for you and I to have a relationship with God. To have a freedom in God. So when we sing this song this morning, there is freedom. We have that. It's not just words on our lips. It's not just a sound that we are producing, that we understand the words. We know the definition of the words. But as our heart is bound, is burdened, overwhelmed by the circumstances of this life, and we find that there's no foundation in that. But we find foundation in God's eternal promises, which through the decades of the past, even up to now, never have failed. You'll never see one promise that God has failed in, ever. It's not there. Every promise in the Bible and those have yet to be done have never failed and will not fail. It behooves each person to keep maintenance of prayer and Bible study each day. Boy, I love to read the Word. I read the Bible every year. I was listening to a speaker speak the other day, and he was a great speaker, and I like to hear him speak because he's got great anointing, and you can tell where he's coming from is coming from prayer. He said, some people read the Bible, and others read the Bible every year. You know, and he didn't mean that as a declaration that some are better than others. He was impressing in the hearts of the congregation that everyone should read the Bible some way. By breaking open the pages of the Bible and reading a psalm. I just read Psalm 119 the other day, and wow, What a great psalm. I mean, I kept reading it, and all the way up, all the way from the beginning to the end, and all the way, it's just like this flow. I kept on saying, wow, this is a long psalm, and listen to the flow of these words. Keep on asking for deliverance, and keep asking for God's word to be in his heart, that he may not sin against him, declaring that God's word is a lamp to the path and a light to his feet. All these beautiful statements in there that he was saying, kept declaring the ability of God to bring to our life freedom. Being freedom is a choice, and the choice belongs to each one. You have to make a choice. I have to make a choice. The church, the body of Christ, has to make a choice every day. Corporately, individually, choose this day who you will serve and find that his word will set you free to live an abundant life in his presence. Or you can be like the bear. That poor bear, he knew nothing else. But God would never allow us. He would never allow us to be set like that. That bear never got out of that space that he lived in. They couldn't leave him there like that. 4 by 6. I want to ask you a question before I go on a little bit here. What's your space? What is your ritual? Are you uncomfortable when you break out of doing something a little different? Is it an excuse like, well, that's just not me. I don't do it that way. You can't do God like that. God will ask you to do things that will widen your boundaries, strengthen your faith. Have you had a deeper clarity of his word? And have a beautiful insight of the wisdom of God in your life and having the knowledge of God. How wonderful it is to have that. Lastly, freedom bursts of faith that can break down prison doors and separate rivers, oceans, mountains, and valleys. That's what freedom does that comes from God. In John 8:36, it says this, "Therefore, if the Son of God sets you free, you shall be free indeed." If he sets you free, you are free indeed. You're not bound to the world. You're not bound to sin. You're not bound to unholy living. You are free in Jesus Christ. You are free to worship, free to praise, free to pray, free to love. You are God's child. You've been brought into the family of God by the spirit of adoption, not by the spirit of fear, whereby you can cry out, Abba, Father, Romans 8:15. We have that ability to know that in Romans 8:16 and 17, it discusses the effect of that relationship, that we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Joint heirs. Everything that he has, we get. We're part of. Amen. It's already been settled in heaven. We are free. Oh, I pray today that you'll hear my heart today. Hear the words proceeding from my heart, not from my mind, but from my heart, that you would know God in the freedom of praise, in the freedom of worship, in the freedom of prayer, in the freedom of loving him, and to know him, knowing that he has set you free, and if you are free indeed. Do you feel free today, or do you feel like the bear that's out of the cage? But all you know is 4 by 6 by 4 by 6. You see, the prison doors come open. Jesus is quoted in Luke in chapter 4, but he's quoted from this scripture first in Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. And you know, I've heard this scriptures preached by so many people, and they kind of put themselves in this position. And I always scratch my head. I said, that's getting a little out there to say that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Yes, we have the Spirit of God, but He's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. Yes, he has. But boy, there's some things that start going down the road here, and you better live this life if you're going to say that's you. This is about Jesus. Now listen. Verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to preserve those who mourn in Zion, to give to them beauty for ashes, to the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. That's a lot. Wherever Zion is mentioned, it's the church. It's the type of the church. I think that's wonderful. We understand that there is mourning in the church, but there's freedom. There's the ability to praise. There's the opportunity that knows that we are not bound to sin. We are not bound to addictions. We are not bound to the things of this world. We are not bound to unholy relationships. We are bound to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are declaring today from our hearts that we belong to the Lord. We have been set free. Amen. Now, Jesus came out of the desert after being there 40 days and 40 nights. No food. None whatsoever. 40 days. 40 nights. I know people that go without a meal and they're crying. He's 40 days and 40 nights without any food. He had water. He comes out of the desert. He had just been baptized with the Holy Ghost. The Lord God just opened up heaven and said to John the Baptist and those that were there would hear and listen. This is my beloved son. I am well pleased. Listen to him. He goes into the desert full of the Holy Ghost. He comes out of the desert, and the first person he meets is the enemy of our soul, the father of lies, the devil. The devil tries to tempt him with the pride of life, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. He fails because Jesus speaks the word of God to the enemy. If you're going to be free, you got to know the word of God to speak the word to the enemy that tries to bind you and tries to take you back into the prisons of sin, into the cage, into that which God has delivered you out of. And Jesus enters after going through that experience. Where does he go? I love Jesus because he's such an example. It says, we don't see this often. We want to look at all these other things and how this is this and how this is that and how it is going to just bless my little individual life. Let me tell you what, Jesus did things to bless the world. Are you with me? He goes to church right after that. He fasts, wrestles with the devil, and he goes to church. Praise God. Sounds like life in the United States right now, doesn't it? Sounds like there's a lot of things going on that we could look at and see what's going on throughout the world even. When you fast, sometimes you'll fight the enemy because the enemy knows that through prayer and fasting, there comes an anointing of power. Especially a 40-day fast. An anointing of power. An anointing that speaks power and an anointing that sees healings and people being saved and deliverances from addictions. Understanding comes. But the enemy will fight you. But be like David in Psalm 27. One thing I desire, and that is that I can get to the house of God, that I can inquire of him at his altars. Praise God. Jesus goes to church, and what he does, he goes and he walks up there. Now, this is, to them, this is the son of Joseph, the carpenter, not the son, the everlasting son, the only begotten son of God the Father, the creator of heaven and earth. This is the son of Joseph in their eyes. And sometimes we want to look at people in a way that we don't want to give those people the ability and the knowledge in our life to say to them, they have prayed, they have fasted, they have looked into the Word of God, and they are bringing something to my heart. And I'm going to open up my heart to hear what God has to say. He walks up there. This is peacefully. He opens up the scroll, and this is what he says. Luke 4:18-19. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the recovery of sight to the blind. He came to bring freedom. You know, when you're blind, you're bound. But when you can see, you're free. Now, I know Helen Keller would say, she would say to me right now, I was blind, but I found freedom. And that's very true. You can be in prison. You can be in a prison anywhere in the United States. One of the harshest prisons, or one of the most medium security prisons, or like a farm prison. You can find freedom in Jesus Christ in your heart. Don't misunderstand me there. But he came to preach this freedom to the captives, to open up the prison doors, to bring sight to them and the knowledge of them. And this is why I said earlier in this message that when people get up there in Isaiah 61 and they begin to read it like they're the ones that are doing this. I've heard two or three people do that in my 42 years of preaching, and I said, oh my goodness gracious, how can one stand in such a place? Because if they would read Luke 4, Jesus stood up and said, this is me. And when he closed up the scroll, those scribes and Pharisees and Herodians that were in that temple that day said, who is this? He is the son of Joseph the carpenter. Who does he think he is? And they were angry. They wanted to thrash him. You see, Jesus fought a battle. Is what my point is here. He fought a battle for you and I to be free indeed. And he goes on to say this, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Oftentimes, I see people in the church world that are oppressed. They're so bound and oppressed, and they say they love God, and they say they've given their heart to the Lord, but they're oppressed. My friend, you can rise out of your oppression. You can rise out of those states that you are in, and you can praise and worship and pray and love a God who will respond to you immediately. Don't allow the bindings of this world, the circumstances and situations that come and twist you and press you down. Don't let oppression, depression, don't let sadness, and don't let mourning and everything else capture your life. Yes, we go through these things, but in all reality, we are free in Jesus Christ, and we can walk out of those valleys. Amen. And finally, he says, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And let me tell you something, my friend. It is acceptable to know Jesus every day of every year. Amen. It is time. It is past time. But it's always the right time for one to be delivered, to be set free. It's always okay for one to raise up their voice unto God and say, I give my heart to you. Now that explains this freedom, what Jesus explains it very good and where it originates quite well, distinctly and to the point. Let me give you three things that I want you to lock into your heart. Freedom originates from God. That's where it comes. It doesn't come from men. Doesn't come from a relationship. It certainly doesn't come from money. It doesn't come by possessions. It does not come that way. You know, there was a great king in the Far East. He had so much wealth and owned so much territory, so much land, so many buildings, that there wasn't a king anywhere that had that much. And he reigned with all that wealth and all those possessions, and the people of that nation loved him. He wasn't a tyrant, he wasn't a dictator, he just had so much land and homes. And the people of that land, some struggled, but they loved him. But when he died, he made sure that his casket would be carried through every street of the whole region that he lived in. Every area of his kingdom. Not one street, not one house would not see his casket go by. And his casket was formed with his hands like this, outside the casket, empty. And the reason that he did that, he said, even though I was wealthy, and even though I had all that a man could ever ask for, it meant nothing because I could take nothing with me. You see, my friend, we try to find freedom in our possessions. I have more friends than you. That means I'm freer than you. I'm better than you. I own more cars than you. That means I'm freer than you. I tell you, I know people that are really impoverished. Really impoverished. I'm talking about they're living on a cement mattress with a rock as a pillow and a dirty blanket that they pull over their head to keep warm at night. And I know people that are very, very, very wealthy. For them to buy a brand new car is nothing. None of that means anything. I know people that are free, that are impoverished, and I know people that have so much wealth, they are bound. I'm not saying that that brings binding if you're wealthy, and I'm not saying that brings freedom through poverty. I'm saying that no matter what walk of life you're in, you have to understand that freedom comes from God. It originates from God. If you want real freedom, let God have your heart. Not just a little bit of it. Not just this little section of your heart. Let him have all the kingdoms of your heart. Every part. Secondly, freedom is maintained through obedience. You obey the word, you're free. It's so simple. What does the Bible say to do? Don't sin. Live right. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, all your strength, all your mind, and all your soul. Obey the word. Worship him. Praise him. Love God. Know ye not that ye have the temple of the Holy Spirit, that ye are no longer your own, that you have been bought with a price? You see, freedom has value. Come out from amongst the world of darkness and sin and live a light that will penetrate the darkness and sin, that they will know who Jesus Christ is. Jesus said in John 17, do not take them out of the world, but send them into the world. That they would know who we are, the Father and the Son, because they are one as we are one. Thirdly, freedom brings joy. And that's what I struggle with so much in the church world today. I don't find joy like it should be. You know, if you stop and think for a minute, you're going to go to heaven. That should put a smile on anybody's face. You're going to heaven. It brings peace. No matter what you go through, God can handle it. That's peace. A peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus said, the peace I leave you is not the peace of the world, but it is my peace that I leave you. My peace that you are going to receive. a peace that we know that God has us in his hand and we are in the palm of his hand and no man can pluck us out of his hand, that we are going to be guarded by the Holy Spirit and the promises of God and the angels of God surround us, protect us, and his pinions of his wing overshadow us. That 1,000 will fall to our left and 10,000 to the right, that we will not even dash our foot against a stone, and he'll bless our coming in and going out. That the sun will not burn us by day nor the moon by night. That God loves us, cares for us. That no evil shall befall us and no plague will come near our dwelling. That we have a peace that surpasses all understanding because of God's word that indwells within our heart. It brings praise. Oh, how I love to worship God. Just to praise and to sing his name will bring you out of any of them. The sadness that you may have as you sing to God, praise him, worship him. Oh, you say, but Pastor, the mentions of these things, you don't know what I'm going through, or you don't know what they are going through. You know what? I probably don't know what you're going through. And you know what? I probably don't know what they are going through. But I know the one who does. And I know the one that can bring instantaneous joy, peace, and praise, and worship. And I know the one that will draw you to your knees, and you'll pray, and you'll be seeking God because it's a joy to wake up in the morning and greet the Lord. It's a joy to sit in a room quietly throughout the day or throughout the night or even seven times a day. David said, I praise you seven times a day. You know, sometimes I'm sitting there late at night and I'm watching something that I like when the house is peaceful, the grandkids are asleep, and everything's really quiet. You know, and I'm sitting there watching a movie that I want to watch, and I watch good movies. You know, I don't watch something that's all skanky and stuff. I watch really good movies, you know. And literally, I'm watching, and all the Spirit of the Lord will say, so, you'd rather watch this movie that you've seen 19 times instead of praising me and praying to me. And boy, I'll tell you what, conviction comes in right away. And then my hand fights me. There's the remote right there. I look at the remote and my hand stands still because I'm going into warfare now with the voice of the Lord because we're human. I'm going, you know, I want to see the end of this. I love the end of this movie. This is great. And then all of a sudden I hear the voice again. My hand doesn't move, and then I don't hear it anymore, and I think I'm in trouble. Click. You know, and I go ahead and I begin to praise and worship and to pray, and I fall asleep praying in my chair. You know, and I just wake up and like 2 or 3 in the morning and I'm like, at peace. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for this church. I'm praying for the Bay Area. I'm praying for a spiritual awakening. I'm praying, along with several other people, for a revival in the San Francisco Bay Area to happen. Not a revival of the past that we see where people are doing things that may be a little bit emotional. I'm talking a revival of the love of God. A revival to see what God wants first, not what men want first. A revival that says that he is my God, he is my King, and I will praise him, I will worship him, I will love him, and I will seek his face. A revival of every age, of every label of ages that we do nowadays. Some 22, 25 years ago, we began to label generations. We label everything. I don't want to be labeled. If you're going to label me for anything, say, there is a man that really loves God, who doesn't hold back preaching the word, and who will deliver and say what God wants him to say to help people come out of their oppression, out of the valley and into the marvelous light of joy and peace and sanctification and praise and worship and prayer, and to fall deeply in love with a God who has already made the way for them to learn of his great wisdom and his knowledge and fear the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Spirit of the Lord always wins. I think it's important. very important that we learn how to love God and love people. We learn how to obey God and love people. That's what we should do. Just obey God and love people. That's all we have to do. Obey God and love people. Wait a minute. You should say we should obey God, love people, and judge them. No! That's not our position. Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, they are the judge. We are to obey God and love people. Pretty simple, isn't it? When you fall in love with God, that's what you do. You obey God and love people because you can't help but love people. Even your neighbor who gives you trouble, you love them. Oh, praise God, I love them. Hallelujah. Even your best friend who you were best friends forever all of a sudden calls you and you're not best friends anymore. I love them forever. God is good. We need to know God's word. It's important, the simplicity of it. 2 Corinthians 3:17 says something that I just love to say. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You see, when you come to church, I'm going to tell you something. God does not live inside this building. It's not that he doesn't like sheetrock or rugs or comfortable brown chairs or music. He loves all that. But he doesn't live here. We bring God to church because we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. David said, even if he made his bed in hell, God's presence would be felt there, is because if David went there, God would be with David, because David was had a heart after God. Hallelujah. God knew David's heart even when he fell with Bathsheba. God knew David's heart. He knew David's heart. He knew he got caught up in life. And sometimes people get caught up in life and they get bound to sin. But God is, listen to me, I'm taking you to the close right now. God is always ready to forgive you. Amen. Always. David, a man after God's own heart. God indwells within us. You know, let me tell you just quickly, Paul and Silas, I love the story, which just simply told the truth about a girl that was following them, telling them the truth, but yet was possessed. And in that possession, there was a demon telling everybody who Paul and Silas were. And you see, sometimes the devil will try to tell you the truth. He'll say things to people about you that are true. You see, devil doesn't always have to lie. He just knows how to manipulate. Are you with me? He knows how to manipulate. And so literally what's going on here is that Paul finally on the third day turns around and says, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ. Go. And she lost all that ability that these men had hired her to do because of the demonic power that was in her, and they were making money off of her. Well, they go tell the town council. The town council gets upset because there goes taxes. They put him in prison. They put him in a cistern, the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of prisons, in the stink where the rats and the smell of human waste is there. And they strap them to a wall, hands and feet. Their feet were not touching the ground. They were strapped to a wall. And instead of crying the blues or saying, please call the pastor, I'm in trouble, or what did you do now, Silas? Or Silas saying to Paul, why did you have to rebuke her? Why didn't you leave it alone? She was telling you the truth. It's okay. It wasn't hurting us. We were doing this thing. They began because their hearts belonged to God. They began to sing praises to God. They began this saying, there is freedom. Hallelujah. There is freedom. They began to sing that. They began to sing songs and hymns, whatever. And because of their faith, the prison doors broke open because there was an earthquake that came because God came on the scene. And whenever God comes on the scene, I'm telling you, there is power, there is anointing, there is a shaking, and there is deliverance. And the prison doors of your heart open up and you become free in Him. And from that, the jailer's household got saved. Praise God. You see, when you get free, people get saved. Wow. Secondly, Peter in prison, one of my favorite stories, also in Acts chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, he's there asleep on the floor. Four guards around him, and he's asleep on the stone floor. He's out like a light. He's at peace. He's in trouble. He's in trouble. He's been doing stuff he shouldn't do. He'd been outside preaching the gospel. They told him, boy, he's in prison now. And an angel shows up, wakes him out of his sleep and says, get up. We got to go. Now, Peter didn't say, no, I'm comfortable. You know, this is a dream. You know, he thought maybe something was a little strange. You know, kind of it insinuates that in the scripture. And they began to walk. He put on his shoes and he did everything. And now, let me tell you, the guards were awake. But they didn't see this happen. You see, God will have things happen to where people around you may not even notice it's happening. But all of a sudden, they got to the door that opened out to the freedom of the prison. And Peter realized it was real because the door opened by itself. Verse 10. Let me tell you something. God will take you out of anywhere and put you into somewhere that's going to bring a blessing to somebody. Did you hear what I just said? He's going to take you out of anywhere to put you somewhere that you could be a blessing to somebody else. And it may be so phenomenal what God does that when Peter gets to the house where everybody's there and he knocks on the door and a little girl comes and sees it's Peter, she runs back and says, it's Peter. And they say, no, it isn't. He's in prison. You see, people are so ready to leave and think you're bound and there's no deliverance, but there is. There is freedom in Jesus Christ. They had a result that was the same. All knowing that their heart belonged to the Lord and that they were free, even though it did not look like it at the moment. How free are you today? How free are you today in Jesus Christ?